today as we come to the table.
They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. So apparently there's still some grass that has now grown back to some degree. Something's happened. Or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. In more than one place in Scripture, God talks about marking the believers with his mark. In the Old Testament, God sent the angels out to put his mark on the believers in Jerusalem before he judged it. Now we see God sending the angels to go and mark, and earlier we saw this. They went out and sealed them earlier in Revelation, and they put a mark on the forehead. I believe that each of us have some kind of supernatural mark of God. We have something that shows God in the demonic realm we belong to him.
When you were younger, did you ever mark your things so you could easily find them? Maybe you had a shared space for washing clothes, so you put your name on the tags so your things were easily identifiable. Or maybe you marked your food with your name and the date so you would know if something spoiled. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark tells of how the angels have been sent to somehow mark believers so they aren't harmed in the tribulation. If you're a follower of Christ, you've been marked so the angels and the enemy know that you now belong to God and nothing can harm you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 8 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Remember, Jesus said, speaking of Satan, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. I mean, God threw him out, just boom, he was done. Cast him to the earth, and that's where he is now. But remember, right now he's being restrained. God is restraining him, not letting him do everything he wants to do. You think this earth is bad right now? If God unrestrained Satan right now, it would look like the Great Tribulation. Now, of course, it would be not quite as bad because God's wrath is much greater than Satan could do, but the only reason it's not total havoc right now and chaos is because Satan is restrained. He would love to kill us right now. And we know that he has to ask permission of God before he can do anything. We see that in the book of Job. And even when God allowed him, after making a request for Job, God limited him. And I'm thankful for that. You know, you can do this and go no farther. But now we're going to see that Satan, the one that has already been thrown to the earth here, is going to start wreaking havoc. And by the way, the angels in Scripture are also referred to as stars. We see in the book of Job, it says that the stars sang and rejoiced with God at creation, speaking of the angels. And here the angel Satan is referred to as a star, fallen from heaven. And notice, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. You know what's interesting? The only thing that can be bottomless is the center of something round. Because there's no bottom to that. You can't have a bottom if you're in the middle of something. And again, the center of the earth, which is where the Bible says some of the fallen angels are being held, and also Hades is there, would be a bottomless pit. That is the description of a bottomless pit, the very center of a planet, the very center of the earth, something that has no bottom. It's round, if you will. And some even say, and I don't know the science on this, you can look it up. Some even say that if you were being the center of the earth, you could just kind of keep falling and never hit anything because of the gravity and the way it rotates and goes around. I don't know that. I've heard that from others who say they've looked into that scientifically. You can have fun doing that and then come and correct me later. But either way, whether that's true or not, that would be a bottomless pit. Now, why is that interesting? Because we're going to see later on there's this hole to the center of the earth. Wouldn't you like to know where that is? It'd be kind of freaky because I would try to go see it, but that'd be scary. Somewhere there's a hole to the center of the earth, the Bible tells us. We're going to see that in a minute. And the Lord's going to allow Satan to open that, and these fallen angels that are in there, we'll explain that a little bit more when we get to that, they're going to come out of that hole. And they're going to also be wreaking havoc during the Great Tribulation. Aren't you glad the rapture is going to happen first? Is anybody with me on that? You know, I know I say this over and over, oh, you just want to escape. Yeah, I do. I have no problem saying that. But again, they were given the key to the bottomless pit, which is the center of the earth. And we're going to see who's down there in a moment. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit, this hole that goes down to the center of the earth, like the smoke of a great furnace. It's probably a volcano. I don't know for sure, but it's going to be that type of thing now that going to the center of the earth, and of course, the lava would make sense, going down to the heat, the lower parts of the earth, and then all this smoke billowing out, so it could be possibly that. But it's like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And again, when volcanoes happen, it does that. This is going to be a great releasing of pressure and of smoke and on all these demons either way. And even before we get to verse 3, I'll share with you a little bit about the fallen angels. Mark, what do you mean fallen angels? Something happened, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter, that part of the fallen angels, remember a third of the angels fell. Two-thirds didn't. A third of the angels fell, and they're what we call today demons. And among those demons, those third of those fallen angels, the demonic realm, there was a portion of them that did something so bad that God locked them up early. And it tells us in 2 Peter that God took this group of angels that did something so bad, worse than even the other demons. I mean, you already had these demons, right? Then you've got hell's angels, right? Greater demons. I better be careful on that. And they get locked up, right? And they're in a place the Bible calls Tartarus. It says it's in the center of the earth. If you look it up in 2 Peter, you'll find the word hell or Hades. I don't have the verse and chapter for you. You have to look it up on your own because I'm going on memory on this. But the literal word there in the Greek is Tartarus. T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. And it says he grabs that group of angels and locks them up early down there. This would appear to be now the releasing of this group of demons that have fallen. Now, if they were already so angry and so mad and so evil that they were doing all this stuff before they were locked up, what do you think they're... See, they're locked up down there right now, the Bible tells us. What do you think they're going to be like when they get out? Talk about madder than a wet hornet. Remember that phrase? But you know, if you get those guys mad, you don't kill them, you got real problems. So you need to make sure that you really, you know, effectively do that. These guys are down there locked up, and they've got a sting we're going to see here in just a minute. When they get out, they're going to be furious, and they're going to be given permission by the Lord to bring great pain on mankind. God's not going to let them kill mankind. But he's going to let them bring great pain on mankind. And that is what we're going to see here. He's going to talk about locusts. We're going to see these are not normal locusts. We're talking about the demonic realm here, and that'll bear out as we get into it. Look at verse 3. It says, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And again, probably referred to as locusts by the way they looked and also by their destructive capability in the Middle East. That's a very destructive insect. They came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. There are certain words that God uses throughout Scripture to describe certain things. Scorpions is one of the words that God assigns to the demonic realm. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, I have given you power to trample on scorpions. He's not talking about a regular scorpion. Without Jesus, we all have the power. An unbeliever has the power to trample on a scorpion. No, he was talking about something supernatural. He's saying, I've given you authority over the demonic realm. You'll have the power over scorpions. And now we see the Holy Spirit showing us in mentioning the scorpions here, he's talking about this demonic realm that's now being released from the center of the earth, probably those that are locked up in Tartarus for whatever they did. Again, the answer may be back in Genesis 6, and you can read that on your own. But either way, now they're released on the earth. And notice they were, the power of scorpions. Let's go on, I'll come back to that. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. So apparently there's still some grass that has now grown back to some degree. Something's happened. Or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. In more than one place in Scripture, God talks about marking the believers with his mark. In the Old Testament, God sent the angels out to put his mark on the believers in Jerusalem before he judged it. Now we see God sending the angels to go and mark, and earlier we saw this. They went out and sealed them earlier in Revelation, and they put a mark on the forehead. I believe that each of us have some kind of supernatural mark of God. We have something that shows God in the demonic realm we belong to him. I think that's really cool. But why would Satan do the same thing? Because remember, Satan is a great imitator. Everything that God does, Satan tries to imitate. Even as God has Father, Son, Holy Spirit during the Great Tribulation, or rather during the end times here in this whole scene, Satan is going to have Father, Son, Unholy Spirit. himself, he's going to take the position of God, which he always wanted to be. The Antichrist will take the position of the Savior of the world, or the Son. And then the false prophet is going to be that picture of the Holy Spirit, but it'll be the unholy spirit. So even as we have a holy trinity, we have an unholy trinity. Even as we had the forehead marked by God with believers, we also have the forehead that Satan will mark on unbelievers with his mark, showing they belong to him. But God says here, before you can do anything, you've got to go and mark all those that have now given their life to me, because after the rapture, many are getting saved. Go mark the ones that gave their life to me, and you're not going to hurt them, and you can't touch those. Well, they already have it, because these are the ones that don't have the seal of God on their foreheads. You can harm them, but you can't harm the believers. Now, this doesn't mean the believers are avoiding all the other things that are happening around them as far as water and all these things, but they're not going to be stung here by the demonic realm. And we're going to see how this is going to be. Look at verse 5. And these demons, if you will, they were not given authority to kill them, that is to kill mankind. God gave a limit to them, but to torment them for 5 months. I find 5 months interesting because five in Scripture is the number of grace. And remember I told you that God was giving grace to mankind to repent. He's saying, I'm going to make your life so miserable that you have nowhere to turn. Why would I do that? Because hell's more miserable. And this may be awful, being stung by these demonic scorpions. It may be worse thing than you've ever experienced in your life, but it's way better than the eternal lake of fire. And I'll tell you what, it only lasts 5 months. I'm going to give you grace to break under the pain so that you'll cry out to me and be saved. It's worth it. And I believe that's what he's doing here, giving them grace to repent, to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, we don't have many scorpion stings around here. We have these little things up in the mountains. I didn't know till I moved back. I mean, I grew up here and lived out west for 7 years, then came back. And after I came back, I found that up in the mountains, you know, we have scorpions. I didn't know that, but we do. Apparently, the sting is like a bee sting. It's not a big deal. The scorpions we have here are not really a big deal. But in the Middle East, they're a big deal. There are some deadly scorpions in the Middle East. Here's some of the symptoms. Now, listen, get this. These are the 5 month symptoms. They get this sting, that's this horrendous sting from this demonic being. And here's what happens. I looked it up for you online. I've got it right here. Muscle twitching and thrashing, unusual head, neck, and eye movements, drooling, sweating, vomiting, high blood pressure, or low blood pressure, could be either one manifests, accelerated heart rate or irregular heartbeat, so tachycardia or arrhythmia, and lastly, restlessness or excitability or inconsolable crying in children. So this is going to be a 5 month nightmare of love. Because if that's what it takes for them to repent, it's the greatest act of love he could ever do. And he gives them 5 months to show his grace before it gets worse. Every stage, God gives them an opportunity. I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a chance. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be so hard-headed. Believe in Jesus. Intense. In those days, men will seek. This is like a horror movie or one of these, you know, Twilight Zone things. Listen to this. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. God's not going to let them die. They'll want to die. There was this old Twilight Zone episode, you know, years ago when I was a kid. Some guy that couldn't die and he was jumping off buildings and jumping in front of cars. It's a terrible thing to watch as a kid, but there you have it. And when I read this now, I think of that episode. It's like no matter what you do to try to kill yourself, you can't die. You're going to have to put up with that torment for 5 months. And notice what it says about them. The shape of the locust, again, he's doing his best to describe them from this vision. He's never seen anything like this. And probably demonic realm contorted because of the fall and their evil, and who knows how they've changed. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold. See him trying to find words to describe it. He's not saying it's gold, but something like gold. So probably still seeing some of the gold wrappings that the angels had. We know they have bound their chests are wrapped in gold and some things. So the angels probably still have some of their outfit God gave them, although contorted, and their faces were like the faces of men. So not exactly, but like that. We know that angels have the face of men. Some angels have multiple faces. But notice about these guys, they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. Now, let me just say, some people try to describe this away by saying these are like helicopters. Because in a minute it's going to say that they have the ability to strike forward and backward, and they talk about the Apache helicopter, which can do that. I don't know how many long blonde Apache helicopters you've seen. This is not an Apache helicopter. This is a demon. This is a demon. Teeth like lion's teeth. Wow. What are these guys going to look like? And their breastplates were like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings, notice they have wings. Again, angels we know have wings. It was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions. There's that whole thing again. So something that, you know, who knows, maybe this is something that happened after the fall, or some angel that has some power that got cast out that we don't know about. Who knows? But they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them. Again, now we see Satan again. The king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek is Apollyon. Kind of sounds like boxers or something, right? But again, just, you know, Abaddon, you know, it means destruction, destroyer. And that's what Satan is. He's the destroyer. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Now you know why the angel said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's just one of the woes. Here comes another woe. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Look at this. Again, demons, how do we know? You don't have to bind holy angels. Holy angels don't need to be bound. They're obedient. They're submissive to the Lord. So now we see four more fallen angels here that are bound at the great river Euphrates. And by the way, where's the great river Euphrates? Iraq and Iran. Well, if they're bound, they've got it. You can see their presence there, can't you? So much trouble for the earth is coming from that region and has throughout history, and is still coming from there today. Why? Because there are demonic spirits that are there, and although they're bound and limited in what they can do, probably they have some ability and some levity to influence in some way, and that's why you see so much of the horror that comes out of the Middle East in those regions. And you watch what these guys do with ISIS and all, they're monsters. I mean, cutting people's heads off and torturing them in so many inhumane ways. You think, that's not even human. How could a person do that? The Bible tells us there's great demonic influence in that region. And these guys with the teeth and the long hair are bound in that region, but they're probably growling pretty loud and have a pretty good influence. And so now we're going to see he begins to release these guys. So the four angels who had been prepared, I love this, they had been prepared for the hour, the day, and the month, and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. I don't love the fact they killed a third of mankind, but why I love the fact that it mentions they were released on the day, the month, the year, the second, so to speak. Why? It shows that although the earth is in total turmoil and chaos, the Lord's in complete control and running every second of it. Isn't that encouraging? As we see our world falling apart, God is in absolute control. Even in the chaos, he controls every minute, every day, every hour, everything any fallen angel can do, everything mankind can do. God controls every bit of it. And that gives great comfort to us. Our God is in control, even in the midst of chaos. And if you've got chaos in your life, he's in control. Now, we may not be, but he is. And that's why we have to run to him and say, God, you've got to help me in my chaos. You're in control, but I'm not. I need your help. He's in control, even in the midst of the great tribulation. And so again, they're released to kill a third of mankind. Now notice, we see a third of mankind die, a third of mankind. Obviously, as mankind is being reduced, it's a third of the new number. Then they're reduced, then it's a third of the new number. So you're seeing mankind, the attrition, you know, just go step by step being removed. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I haven't done the math, but I've heard this would be about a mile or two wide and 87 miles long. A mile wide and 87 miles long of soldiers. It would be about a mile wide with an army standing from here to Chattanooga. That's a lot of people. 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. I was trying to look nations that had those colors, and there's a bunch of them, so I couldn't really follow anything there, but. But they have these colors, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Again, who knows what this is? But these demonic beings and these things, whatever, and again, we don't know all the details. And here, possibly, there is some modern military being used when we get to the army and the 200 million people and all that. But either way, we'll see, we'll know one day. And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails. And again, this demonic, whatever it is, able to destroy in all directions. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, look at this, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. Now, before I finish reading that, what does it take? What does it take? And again, I don't know, for each of us it's different. For some of you, maybe God's convicting you. You need to repent of something, and God has started allowing the pressure to turn up in your life. He's allowing heat to be increased in your life. Why? To get you to break. And I'll tell you, God loves you enough, he's going to allow the heat to continue to rise, because he did it in my life. He'll allow it to take place until you break. These guys haven't broken, so God's going to continue to turn up the heat in the bowls that we're going to see after this. But notice this, they didn't repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which neither see nor hear nor walk. So again, all these different religions around the world where they have all these different idols, which will still be going on. And they did not repent, that is, stop doing this. They did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Now, I want to point this out. Murder is self-explanatory. Sexual immorality, theft, that's all self-explanatory. But this word sorcery is, again, the word we brought up on Sunday, and is the word pharmakia. And again, what he's saying is they will not repent of their illicit drug abuse. So in whatever form and fashion the drug abuse is taking place, you know, it's legal, I'm going to do it. God calls it sorcery and says they need to repent of it. And even when God brought in these types of judgments, they didn't repent. Wow. Listen, I just want to make an appeal to anybody that doesn't know the Lord. You know, I read this stuff and I read it from the vantage point of saying, I'm not going to be here. And even if I'm wrong and I am going to be here, which I'm not wrong and I won't be here. But even if I was wrong and I was going to be here, I have hope. The worst thing that can happen to me is everything we just read. But then I've got heaven forever eternally. But if you don't know Jesus, not only is this going to happen if you're here during the Great Tribulation, if it's as close to us as I think it is, not only is this going to happen, but then you have eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. So I would just make an appeal to you, if you don't know the Lord, if you've not received him as Lord, if you've not believed in him and what he did for you on the cross, confess your sins, repent of your sins, believe that Jesus died for you, give your life to him, and you don't have to worry about any of this because, number one, you're not going to be here. And even if you have the conviction that you are, in the end, you're going to win because you inherit the kingdom of God. So confess your sin, receive him as Lord.
The book of Revelation is a good reminder that things happening here on earth have an expiration date. There isn't an indefinite amount of time for evil to persist. If you're honest, you'd likely admit it would be nice to have a reset, a clean slate, a new world of sorts. Well, did you know that Jesus is bringing this about sometime in the future? What a thing to look forward to. Like any blockbuster, end-of-the-world movie, there's always some culmination between good and evil. But guess what? The things mentioned in Revelation will happen. They're not just some made-up plot line to make lots of money at the box office. So keep grounded in the book of Revelation as we uncover more and more of God's heart behind all that will occur. Pastor Mark will continue next time in the book of Revelation. But before we go, we'd like you to know about a way that you can join us this weekend. At Calvary Knoxville, we have several services. We meet on Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. We also have a midweek service at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. Come join us and be part of what's going on here. Find out more at thewaymedia.net. You can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. Thanks for being a part of our listening audience. If you'd like to hear these messages whenever you'd like, download the Way Media app. We hope you'll continue with us next time in the book of Revelation, here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.